Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Floods, flash floods, I should say, stabbing attacks, earthquakes, Russian missile transfers, and the possible EMP attack. We talk about it all on this show today. We have an update on the stabbing attack. I did break in on the programming here at Israel News Talk Radio to announce that there was a stabbing attack that took place in the afternoon in Jerusalem's Talpiot neighborhood on Pierre Koenig Street near the Hadar Mall. A person was stabbed. He's in serious condition, and the stabber was apprehended. The police are saying that this was not a terror attack. They are saying or reporting that this is criminally motivated. That is the information that we have at this time. We do not know the identities of the attacker and the attackee, if they were both Arabs, if they were Jews, if it was Arab stabbing a Jew, Jew stabbing an Arab. We do not know. We don't have these details as yet, but if you keep a watch on our Facebook page, we do give updates there on what is happening. All right, so this is a call-in show. It's a live show. If you're listening on Sunday between 4 to 5 p.m. Holy Time right here in the Land of Israel, or if it's Sunday morning, 9 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, it means that we are live and you can call into the show. You can also join me in the chat room. It's a lot of fun to be in there because you get to listen to the show with other people from all over the world. So hi, everybody that's in the chat room right now. It's great to see you there. And remember, our phone numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, so you can call into the show anytime you have any comment or question about what we are talking about. And again, we're going to be talking about the stabbing attack, the flash flood, the tragedy that killed 10 of our youth, and more, and what it's like to be in a flash flood. We're going to be speaking with somebody who actually experienced it themselves. I want to say hello to everybody who's listening in from all over the world, from all over the United States, Israel, Canada, the United Kingdom, Norway, Australia, Argentina, Belgium, France, and other places as well. Great to see you all here. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back and invite your friends into the chat room. It's a lot of fun. The orange button on our phone.
Hey everyone, this is Ari Fuld. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And as we spoke about before, on Sunday afternoon, Jerusalem time, there was a stabbing attack. One person seriously wounded, taken to the hospital. I believe he's doing better now. The attack took place in front of the Hadar Mall in Jerusalem, in the Talpiot neighborhood on Pierre Koenig Street. The police are saying that this was a criminally motivated attack and not a terror attack. At this time, that's what they are saying. The attacker was apprehended. He was shot and apprehended, and the victim was stabbed several times in his upper body. So this is just went on. We're going to talk about this. Maybe we'll start with this, and then we're going to go to the even bigger story that happened just before the weekend. And our guest is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, And he is a Mideast commentator. And he is on the show with us now. So welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, it's good to have you on. So let's start out with this attack that took place, first of all. Do you have anything to say on this? We don't know the identities yet of the attacker or the victim. But is it too early for the police to be able to say that it's criminal and not terror motivated?
I don't know. There hasn't really been any details published yet that I can base anything on, so I can't really express an opinion about the specifics of it. They just haven't been published. It's a very public place where this occurred.
Yes, I shop there often.
Yeah, I go by there at least twice a week.
Yes, it's a very busy place.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so
I really can't say anything about it because they just haven't any details published.
Okay, so we'll wait with that story, and we'll keep our listeners again updated on our Facebook page. Look for Israel News Talk Radio on your Facebook page, and we'll keep you updated there. Let's go to the big story that has shaken Israel. I'm not talking about the earthquakes. We'll get to that, time allowing. But there was a horrible flash flood that took place on Thursday, which killed 10 beautiful youth of ours that were in a pre-army program. They were on a tiul, which is a hike up in the, or I should say down in the Dead Sea area. And Mordechai Ben-Menachem, you yourself told me, and I don't have the details, I wanted to wait for the show to hear it, but you told me that you yourself were caught in a flash flood. So why don't you first tell our listeners exactly what a flash flood is, and then tell us about your experience.
Well, first of all, this incident is enormously infuriating. I mean, I must say that I am absolutely furious about it. It's inexcusable in any way of looking at it. Totally irresponsibility on the part of the people who organized the hike. Anybody who knows anything about the desert knows that when it rains in the mountains, you get flash floods in the desert. That's the way it works. Now, what is a flash flood? Essentially, you have these dry wadis. You have a riverbed which is seasonal, and it collects water from various floodplains of various area. Usually the area is not large, but it's maybe long, but not broad. In other words, you have riverbeds that begin around the Hebron area, and they may dump into the Dead Sea, or they may dump into the Mediterranean. There was a strong rain, and what happens is you get a sudden wall of water coming down. I remember when I was in it, we saw a wall at the moment. It looked like about 10 meters tall, but of course that was just my imagination. It was only about 3 meters tall. But think of that, a wall of water, 3 meters tall, containing many, many boulders, sand, rocks, etc., rushing at you at a rate which is many tens of meters per minute. In other words, if you see it, you're dead. It's too late. If you're in the body, on the bottom, and you see this wall coming, there's no way you can outrun it, ever. If you hear it, you're probably not going to survive.
Right. So the people who were caught in it, most of them were nine girls and one boy. They were usually, I think, around 18, 19 years old. Beautiful, beautiful kids. Just gorgeous. And it's such a horrible thing. So when this happened to you, describe it.
Well, the one that I'm thinking about specifically, I was actually in two, but the one that I'm thinking about specifically was in the Sinai near the Santa Catarina, the mountain where there's a monastery on the top, and there was a danger of old landmines being dislodged by the water and ending up in uncontrolled in various places that nobody could know about, and it was very, very dangerous. So they brought us in, a team of us, to build a special kind of fence that essentially stops the landmines from pouring out. I mean, it's a fence that you put up in very close to the ground, to catch the landmines. Now, we had to do that very, very quickly. Everything was literally at the run. While we had observers on the mountaintops on both sides to get us out of the way if the water came and it was too late. So think about that. That's, you know, it rained in the mountains. You know that below them you're going to have a flash flood. So you have to get out of the way very, very quickly or not be there in the first place.
You shouldn't be there in the first place. And that's what the whole argument is here in the Israeli society now, that they want to see the directors of this pre-army program go to jail. They said, we knew about this storm and the flash flood warnings 24 hours before this hike. And they're saying it was negligence on the part of the staff. Other people are saying, and the staff is saying, that we couldn't have known because in this area, it wasn't supposed to happen. We have trained guides with us, et cetera, et cetera. So quickly, if you can, Mordechai, because we're running out of time, give your commentary on this whole argument.
The idea that they couldn't have known is simply nonsense. It's a lie. There are warnings broadcast on the radio saying the danger of flash floods. There is absolutely zero excuse for any of those youngsters to have been in the body. You want to go in that area, you go on the top, you're not down below in the body, in the bodies. I mean, it's just totally inexcusable. There is no excuse whatsoever. Anybody who knows anything about the desert knows that you do not go down into Vadiot when it's been raining in the mountains. Anybody knows that. Anybody with a modicum of sense knows it, and this is total arrogance and incompetence. I don't want to use more strong words that are more strong than that, but clearly this is total arrogance and total incompetence. And I blame the parents as well. How did they sign off on this? They should have known just as much as the guide should have known.
Well, I don't know if the parents have to sign off on this after they're 18 years old. I think that they're considered adults. In the Mishnah, I'm not sure.
Well, then one of the parents said that she specifically said that she had to sign off on it, and she asked questions and she didn't receive sufficient answers. If you didn't receive sufficient answers, then don't sign.
It's a terrible tragedy. It's really turned Israel on its head. I have to tell all of our listeners, if you don't understand Hebrew, you're not watching the Hebrew news and the Hebrew talk shows. People here are distraught about what happened. It's just like having a pigua, which is like a terror attack. 10 of our children of Israel killed. It is a terrible, terrible thing. And when you see their faces and their names, and my brother, I mean, everyone here is connected to Israel. My brother knows one of the girls that was killed because his daughter was friends with the girl, and their parents met, etc. We're all connected. And so this has touched all of us. So again, if there's going to be warnings of a flash flood or heavy rain in the Arava, in the desert region, the Dead Sea areas, the Eilat areas, you must be, well, anywhere that there could be a flash flood, you must be extra careful. Avoid those areas, even just going down there, because the roads themselves come apart. They just fall apart, and there's sinkholes over there. It's extremely dangerous, and people should stay away.
I correct something that you said.
Yes.
The rain doesn't have to be in the Arava. The rain could be in the Hebron area, in the mountain area.
And then comes to the Arava.
And the water comes down from the mountains.
Right. Yes. Thank you for that correction, and that's exactly right. So we're going to see what's going to happen now, because a lot of people want heads to roll. On the other hand, some of the people at the Mechina, at this Army preparation program, it's after high school, are saying that they were not wanting to send the kids, they were hesitant, and someone else was saying that it was all right to go. And so where is the blame going to come to a stop? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But this is the big story here in Israel. Again, 10 of our youth killed just before the weekend. A terrible, terrible story. I want to go on to some other things that are happening, and we're just about to end, but let me just tease to the next segment. We'll quickly try to cover these topics, that the meeting between North Korea and South Korea, can we really trust the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Can we trust him, or is this going to be like a Chamberlain situation like we saw in World War II and that South Africa is being duped? We'll see. Also, the IDF attacks a Hamas naval target in Gaza. In Australia, they don't want to let the Jewish people build a synagogue in Sydney because they say it poses an unacceptable security risk. Are they right to stop this because of thugs? We'll ask you about that as well. Feel free to call in with any comments or questions you might have if you'd like to weigh in on the issue. We're going to be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show, and I'm speaking with Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, and we're covering some of the latest and hottest news stories here in Israel. We talked about the flash flood that killed 10 of our youth, a tragic thing that is just put Israel on its head. I want to turn now to the Russian report that Russia will be bringing in S-300 missiles into Syria. Now, if you've been paying attention to news, Israel has made some attacks already in Syria in order to quell the Iranians from building bases there and taking out any weapons shipments as well to the Hezbollah. We may not be able to get away with doing that anymore if Russia brings in those S-300 missiles. Why don't you tell us about that, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem?
Okay, there are two points here that need to be taken up. First of all, Russia is not giving them to Syria. They're bringing them in for themselves at their own naval base in Tartus. So they'll be controlling it, not the Syrians. Secondly, while clearly the presence of these missiles makes our Air Force's job more complex, we've defeated them in the past and we can do it again. These missiles were protecting a nuclear installation that we took out in 2007. And we've defeated them more than once. It's not trivial. It makes things more complex. But it's not all that terrible a thing. It's not good. It's not terrible.
Okay, so you're saying basically it'll make things more difficult, but it's not the end of the world, and Israel is watching the situation and will take care of everything. That's what you're saying?
Basically, yes. So also, I think it has an upside as well, because one of the things that Lieberman has said, and I'm very, very much welcome what he said
and just
when he said this.
By the way, Lieberman is Israel's defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, yes?
He says that we're going to start to develop our own ground-to-ground missile systems, which till now we've been deficient in that. And that's excellent news. So that'll speed up that development, and that's a very, very good thing.
Okay.
Competition's good.
Let me say that on the Sabbath, on Saturday, the IDF attacked Hamas naval targets in Gaza. It says here, according to this report, the IDF hit 6 targets in response to repeated Hamas attempts to infiltrate into Israeli territory. As you all know, that there are riots going on daily of hundreds and hundreds of Arabs trying to get into Israel through the border fence. I say, let me just weigh in on this issue first, and then you can comment on that. I say hit the Hamas. First of all, they should take out the Hamas. They shouldn't even be there. But if you're going to leave them in power, hit them where it hurts. They don't care about the lives of their people. They say that 4 people were killed in this attack, by the way. They don't care about the lives of their people. So if we kill their people, they don't care. It's not a deterrent factor. I say make the consequences of their rioting on our border and their threat of attack so painful that they themselves will rein in their people because they don't care about their people dying. What do you have to say?
You have there's a problem with that comment. The problem is that what we've discovered is that in each of the venues where they're having these riots, they have an underground tunnel that they're trying to prevent us from finding by making all of this noise, literally by making noise. Because one of the methods that we use to find them is audio, very sophisticated audio systems. So the riots have many purposes. One of them is to hide these tunnels. Fortunately, they're not very smart, so they do it where the tunnel actually is, so it actually helps us to find them. But, you know, that's Hamas. I mean, they aren't there to be smart. They're there to be stupid.
Okay, but, this is very interesting what you're saying. It kind of reminds me of the story of the spy Eli Cohen in Syria, where he told the Syrians that they should plant trees in front of some installation that they had in order to block it from Israeli sight. But then he sent a message to the Israelis, wherever you see those trees, that's exactly where the Syrians are, you know, threatening Israel. All right. So very interesting what you're saying. I did not know myself about that's what they're trying to cover up, the noise from the tunnels, but very interesting that you have to say that. I want to move now on very quickly because we have so many things to cover. The North Korean leader meeting the South Korean leader and saying that there's going to be an end of war and they're going to end their nuclear program. Do you believe him?
Well, you know, Only a naive fool would trust a dictator. So do I believe Kim Il-un? Certainly not. But that doesn't mean you can't create systems that can put verification in place and you can start to move forward. The fact that this meeting took place is enormously significant. And the fact that it takes place when a meeting is coming up between him and Trump is enormously significant. And I think the whole world needs to literally take off its hat to Mr. Trump and say thank you. This is an enormous achievement.
Actually, I've heard murmurings in the press that some people are saying that Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize for doing something like this, if in fact it's true and it's going to pan out, as opposed to Obama, who got the Nobel Peace Prize for doing nothing. Let's move on to another story. And this is something that can really make the hairs on your head stand. And an Australian court upheld a ban on the construction of a new synagogue in the neighborhood of Bondi, Sydney, on the grounds that it posed an unacceptable security risk. Australia's Land and Environmental Court backed a decision by the Waverley Council to prohibit the construction of the synagogue in Sydney's world-famous Bondi Beach suburb. According to news.com.au, the local council conducted a risk assessment and concluded that a new synagogue would be an attractive target for Islamic State. The ruling stated that the proposed synagogue site, quote, raises concerns as to the safety and security of future users of the synagogue, nearby residents, motorists, and pedestrians in the Wellington Street, and the physical measures proposed to deal with the identified threats will have an unacceptable impact on the streetscape and adjoining properties. I end there. What do you have to say about this?
Well, I'm trying not to laugh, first of all, but Australia likes to pretend that it's a Western country with Western style armies and Western style law enforcement and things like that. When what we see here is that they're empty. They're just normal European garbage.
I have to put my two cents in here. I've known the Australian people to be extremely lovely, respectful people. This is a government decision, and I think that the government is afraid. They are intimidated by the ISIS, by the Islamic extremists who are violent, and they don't want to deal with it. And so they tell the Jews, who are very good law-abiding citizens, you know what? It's not good. It's unsafe, and so don't do it. But that is immoral. It is wrong. And are you going to kowtow? Is that going to be a domino effect? Well, we're not going to build a church here because it might be attacked. We're, you know, it might be offensive to Islam. And we're not going to build a school here because your children, the way they dress, may not be, it may be offensive to Islam. I mean, where does it stop?
I completely agree with everything you just said. I agree with you about what you, about your opinion of the Australian people as opposed to their government. And I agree with you about the moral issue. Clearly, the decision is a very poor decision the way it's cast right now. If you don't control your country and you can't ensure the safety of your citizens, then there's no point in you existing.
Well, that's right. They said the government, its first job is to defend and protect its citizens. And if it can't do the job, if it's too hot in the kitchen, what's that saying? Get out of the kitchen if it's too hot, something like that. I'm forgetting my English.
I don't know that one. Okay.
In any case, I want to encourage the leadership in Australia to have the courage and the wisdom to do the right thing and not give in to terror and bullying. That is not a moral thing to do. When you are kind to the cruel, you end up being cruel to the kind. This is not a smart thing to do. I know we have a lot of listeners in Australia. The Tamar Yonah Show actually is syndicated on the Melbourne station of JR Radio. If you listeners there have any comments or would like to weigh in on the issue, I would love to hear your thoughts on this issue. You can write me Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and make your message brief, and I'll try to read that over and go over that in a future show. So let's move on because we only have another 1 minute, really fast. There's so much to talk about. The embassy being moved to Jerusalem.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. I mean, Trump has proven himself once again to be, first of all, honest. He made promises. He's keeping his promises. This is unprecedented in the history of the United States. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
Ivanka Trump will be here, and her husband, Jared Kushner. And it's now even thought that U.S. President Donald Trump wants to perhaps come. It looks like Pompeo might be there as well, the Secretary of State. So, and we're going to be seeing tens and tens of American delegation there. It's going to be something very exciting. I say it's going to be historical. I was being beforehand cautiously optimistic that this was going to happen, that he would keep his promise. I was cautiously optimistic, and I'm very happy to say that it looks like it's going to happen. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, so much more to talk about. We'll have you on again. Thank you for coming on this segment.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And when we get back, we're going to be having on Shifra Hoffman. So don't go anywhere. And again, you can call in. She would love to get your calls. She loves hearing from you, our listeners. And join us in the chat room for the last segment of the show if you haven't already. It's the orange button on our player. And again, write me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And we have now Shifra Hoffman joining us for our Jewish activism segment. Shifra is the founder of victimsofarabterror.org, and she is the director of Shuva.net. Welcome to the show, Shifra Hoffman.
Thank you, Tamar. As I always try to begin with thankfulness and with gratitude and with humility to the God of Israel for giving us the opportunity that was so denied for so many generations to come back and see our reborn land, and God fills his promise to the Jewish people. Now we have to fill our promise to God Almighty. I want to begin now with something that I think people think that you live in a vacuum. We don't live in a vacuum. The Lord God directs everything. And we saw a terrible, terrible tragedy, horrible tragedy. 10 young people that lost their lives in the flash flood. And everybody's speaking about it, and they're trying to find answers. I opened my computer, and I found something which definitely they should have been then long ago, called Israel Today. They make themselves appear that they are a journalistic organization or paper for Israel, that they are Messianic Jews, which means that they believe that Jews should be for Jesus, and they missionize. What happened this week before the flash floods was that our Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, decided to hire one of these people who proudly proclaims that he's for Jesus, but he's a Jew. I repeat this strongly as much as I can, and not in my own name. I repeat it in the biblical admonition that God gave us. You cannot be a Jew for anything except Jews. And this is what God gave us to be our direction in life. And again, you cannot be black and white at the same time. How dare the Prime Minister of Israel hire someone who is a Jew for Jesus and proud of it, and he says, oh, yes. He tells children, he went to a school, he told a student, you must study the Bible. Well, Bibi, why don't you study the Bible? You're not allowed to have a Jews for Jesus in the Knesset to represent Jews. The admonition that we are told, we just read it about 2 weeks ago, that homosexuality is a sin, lesbianism is a sin. These are not just empty phrases. You can make your own laws. God gave us this admonition, and we have to go by it. And the terrible tragedy that happened, and I grieve for all the children, but we have to search our deeds and find out what we are doing wrong.
Okay, well, we have a democracy here. It's not a Torah government, per se, so... Until we get to that point. Yes.
But the reason that we suffer this way is because it's supposed to be a Torah government. It's not a matter of fanaticism. Everyone was given their role in life. The Jewish people accepted the Torah as a covenant thousands of years ago. And God Almighty said, if you will follow my ways, it will be good for you. And if not, it will not be good. So we better shape up.
You know, Shafra, I want to comment on that because a lot of people think that if we go to be a Torah government, just like, by the way, when we had King David, I mean, he was a Torah observant Jew, King Solomon, a Torah observant Jew. People think that if we have a Torah government, we're going to be like some Iran and it's going to be like the Taliban. It's going to be a horrible place. But during the times of King David and King Solomon, it was not a horrible place. It was Jerusalem was one of the seven wonders of the world. Women had the rights of marriage contracts and things protecting them. And people weren't being killed in the streets or dragged. In fact, the Sanhedrin, which was the judges of that day, if they killed even two people, gave the death penalty out to even two people in a 70-year period, they were called a bloody court. They would bend over backwards not to have to give anyone a death penalty. So people should not be afraid of having a Torah government. So that's all I want to say.
That's exactly right. And the fact is that there were two words that are included in the prayer. So that's when Moses, our great leader, said, you should obey these laws, not because God needs them, but because you need them. We need them. We have to follow our covenant. I wrote, you know, my articles, by the way, people who would like to see the articles before my book comes out, which God willing will be very soon, called Ask Not Why My People. The articles I wrote is that we have accepted a covenant from God. We signed a contract, as it were. And Lahavdil Elaftov Loth, no comparison. The enemies, the PLO, Arafat, he has a covenant too. His covenant says you have to kill Jews. So we have to, again, understand that it's not a vacuum, and we have to go by what the Lord God gave us to do. And as you said, it's not a matter of being a fanatic or you know, I'm afraid they'll make me religious. If you know that you try to do what God wants, he will do what you want.
You wanted to talk about the flash floods that took place. It was, again, a tragedy that happened just before the weekend, Shifra.
Yes, well, I'm saying that this is what this Israel Today, which if you open your computer, you'll see they are messianic Jews. They have no place here. They should be banned. So they're writing that Israel is searching for answers. The answer has to be to look into our deeds. The same week that this tragedy happened, and again, I repeat, I grieve with all the families and with all the good people who send condolences and feel the pain of these families. Nevertheless, we have to see that the same week the Prime Minister of Israel decided to hire a Jew for Jesus to represent the social media.
You know what? It's very controversial what you're saying. We're not afraid of controversy here. People can call in right now and disagree with Schiffer if they want. They can agree with her if they want. We invite you to call in. Our numbers are on our homepage. But you've already stated that, and we don't have a lot of time, and I want you to get to everything that you wanted to talk about today, Schiffer. Today, Sunday, is the Pesach Sheni. Why don't you tell our listeners what that is and
okay,
what you
I want
to say.
Defer that for 1 minute. I want to comment on this whole publicity and criticism of Natalie Portman, who decided that she wasn't going to take the prize awarded her, the Genesis Prize for Jewish values, because she doesn't agree with Bibi Netanyahu. Natalie Portman is a leftist. She identifies with everything that isn't Jewish, as far as I'm concerned, and she should have never given the prize. Moreover, why should the government of Israel give a prize with money to somebody who is not pro-Israel and who rejected it? I think she didn't, I don't know if she rejected the money, but she rejected the prize. Why do they feel an obligation to give to Hollywood stars that say they have no intention of coming here? Give the money to poor Jews, to soldiers that sacrificed their lives, to families, to victims of Arab terror. Stop trying to curry favor with the Hollywood world, which doesn't work at all. Okay, and now for Pesach Sheni, which is today, everybody can look up to why we have Pesach Sheni. We have the main Pesach, but it seems that some people weren't able to celebrate, so they instituted a Pesach Sheni, which means the second Pesach, and we are told we should eat matzah today and reminisce that this was the Passover also. I would like to say to the Jews, especially in America, three Jews were beaten up mercilessly last week in Crown Heights. Swastika smearing, attacks on Jews, killed Jews. This is a daily occurrence. There is more than eating matzah today. It gives you a chance for the second exile. Pesach Sheni means the second Pesach, and you also have a chance for the second exile. Jews, wake up. Pick up. Pack up. Come home to Israel. This is your country. This is your destiny. Trust in God Almighty, because he promised we will never be exiled again. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do and come here, I'm afraid you're going to have the fate that all the other Jews in Egypt has. They die during the days of darkness. Don't be foolish. Don't risk your families. Do the right thing, and God Almighty hope will help you.
Okay, Schiffer, really quickly, we're going to take a caller. Caller, you have exactly 60 seconds. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller? We're going to try one more time. Caller, if you're there. Okay, so the caller,
If they want, they can write to me. I'll try to answer their questions.
Okay. All right, so we encourage people to call, and don't be afraid to state your views. We're very tolerant here to hear everybody. Everyone has a right to their own opinion. We will give ours as well, and that should be good. Schiffer Hoffman, where can people get in touch with you?
Let me just mention before that an opinion can be treason. When you have an opinion and it goes against Israel, the enemies of Israel rejoice. In fact, that the PLO, you know, the Arabs, they call themselves the Palestinian Authority, they sent a note of thanks. Thank you, Natalie Portman, for sticking up for us. So remember, your opinion could be treason, too.
They should have given the award to Gal Gadot. She has served in the IDF. She is a hero not only to Jewish people in the sense of she's brought pride to a lot of non-religious Israelis and also religious Israelis, but to women everywhere around the world.
Who would have
been a better... Gal Gadot. She's an Israeli actress.
No, she's not exactly... All right, she's... pretty and she, whatever. She's not exactly the epitome of what Judaism for women represents. A modest Jewish woman dresses like a Jewish woman and she observes
right,
everything.
Right, but this is not, the Genesis Award is not a religious award, but okay.
Yeah, okay.
Shifra, we
you
don't have time
again,
and I want you to
again,
be able to give out your...
Tamar, you know me, I stick with my what I say and I back it. I don't believe that we should carry Hollywood stars as images. I think we should look at the good women in Beis Yaakov, in the Chabad, all these religious, wonderful women that get up early to bring things to people
Shifra,
in the hospital.
Shifra, I hear you. I'm just saying that if you're giving it to an actress, Gal Gadot would have been better. Listen, we don't have time, and I want you to be able to give out your contact info.
Okay, they can write me, of course, on email, hoffmanshifra@gmail.com, HoffmanShifra @gmail.com, or you can call New York, and there's a number there, 718-375-2532, or just, you know, Twitter, whatever, tweet.
Okay.
Whichever way you want to get in touch.
Shifra, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being with us. Again, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to write us or leave a comment on the show where the show is podcasted. Thank you, everybody. And we'll be back tomorrow, Israel time, or tonight, midnight, U.S. Eastern time, for the Tamar Yonah Show. Thank you for being with us.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising@israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.